But yesterday I wasn't here at all. Okay, today's daf is Mem Ches, but we have to finish off Mem Zayin on the base. So we're about three quarters of the way down. Still got a fair bit to go. Neima Ketanoi. The line starts with the word Konoi. About three quarters of the way down. And the word Neima is the second word of the line. That's what we're up to. Where you got it, Yehuda? Looks like it's probably a bit lower than what you're pointing at.
No, three quarters of the way down.
No,
my
directions weren't good enough. There. Name look at Tanoi. Okay, so this is going back on what going back to Rav. Okay, so we're still trying to understand whether what Rav said, that one who's Mekadesh B'milva, he tries to marry the woman by forgiving alone, if Rav said that doesn't work, he has to actually give something over at the time of the transaction. So the Gemara's trying to again see whether this is a unanimous opinion, or is there a Machloikas Tanoim regarding this. So he says, Neima Ketanoi, the Gemara says, should we say this is a Machloikas Tanoim? Because we have the following brayser. A guy says to the woman, "Hiskat shili b'shtar choiv, marry me with this contract of debt." Or he had money that was owed to him. He had a loan that other people owed to him. And he gave her permission to collect it. Right. So somebody owed him money, and he told her, you marry me, and you've got, and what I'm giving you is that you can go and collect that loan from him. So it's whatever money that's worth. Is Rav Meir Eimer Mekudeshes? Rav Meir says that works. That's, and then she's married. But Chachamim remain Mekudeshes, and the Chachamim say no, it doesn't work. So what's the basis of this argument over here? Is the question is Haishtar Choev Echidomi. So we talked to her about if he marries her with a loan contract, or that he had a loan with somebody else. What are these two cases over here? When it says a loan contract, what sort of loan contract? If he's talking about where someone else owed him money. So if he has a contract that someone owed him money that he hands over to her to collect, or a milva about a cherim, what does that mean? That someone else owed him money and he told her she can collect. So those are the same thing. Is Hainu Milvi Barachirim? What's the difference between the two expressions of a loan contract that somebody owes him or a loan that somebody owes him? It's the same thing. But the Brisa brought two separate things. So it must be that the Shtar Choiv that he's talking about, this loan contract, is a different thing. El Alav, Shtar Choiv Dido. The two different cases are, one is where someone owed him money and he lets her collect it. And the other one that's called Shtar Choiv is Shtar Choiv Dido. That means that she owed him money. Yeah, so there was a contract of loan which said that she owed him money. Yeah, and he's now forgiving that. That's what it means. It seems that they're arguing about whether that works or not when he cancels and forgives the loan. So the Gemara says, no. No, when it says the contract of loan, it means, like we thought in the first place, that somebody else owed him money, and here was a contract that said Reuven owed Shimon money, and Shimon now is marrying this woman, and he's giving her the contract and says, you can go and collect from Reuven. So therefore, why does it need two things that are both talking about a loan where someone else owed him money? Says the Gemara, very simple. There are two cases. Both cases are talking about where Reuven owed Shimon money. One is talking about where there's a contract on the loan, and the other one is where it's alpeh, where it's verbal. There is no contract. Why do I need to argue about both of those? Because there's two different situations. Is b'milva b'shtar b'may pligi? What's the basis of the machlokes when he hands over a shtar to the woman and says, you can collect the money from Reuven, and with that I'm marrying you? What's the basis of the argument whether that works or not? Is b'plukta de Rebbe v'rabbana? We have an argument between Rebbe and the Chachamim k'miflagi. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braise, oisiois. Oisiois means letters, but let's speak more colloquially and say words. If I want to give you words, yeah, I own some words and I'm giving them to you. Niknais b'mesira. They can be acquired just by me handing them over. Divrei Rebbe. What does it mean, words? So the pshat and the words is, the Gemara says over there, what's the pshat, words? Words is a contract. I'm handing you not money, I'm handing you some words that say that Reuven owes me money, and I'm handing it to you. So what? How do I make that kinyan? Whenever I give over possession from one person to another, there has to be a transaction which has to have a mechanism of a kinyan. So how does that transaction work? The Rebbe says, b'mesira. If I take a contract that says that you owe me money, and I hand it to Yehuda, that's it. That is the contract. And now Reuven can come and collect the money from you. I don't have to do anything else. Yehuda fully owns that contract, and that's it, according to Rebbe. But v'chachamim maimrim, no. If I want to give that contract to Yehuda, I need to write another contract that says that I'm giving him the contract, if you like, yeah? Let's say I'm selling him the contract. You know, you can sell a loan to Dun & Bradstreet, for example. Yeah, the debt collecting agency. So how does that work out? So according to the Chachamim, you have to write a contract with Dun & Bradstreet that says that they're now allowed to collect from this contract that says that he owes me money. Yeah? So they write, Bencha Kosovo Le Mosso, whether they wrote in the contract, the Dun & Bradstreet contract, but he didn't actually hand over the original loan contract. Or if he handed over the original loan contract, but didn't write it up as a separate deal to say that you're giving over that loan to the collector that he can collect. That doesn't work. There's no transaction. So you've got to do both. So what are we saying? So therefore, what's the argument over here? The argument over here is where he took a contract that says someone owed him money, and he handed it to the woman and said, Arayam Mekudeshesli. It's according to Rebbe, Mar Isle de Rebbe. Reb Meir says it's married because he holds like Rebbe. With Rebbe, he says that all you have to do is hand over the contract, and that's it. Now she has full rights to collect it, so you've given it to her. So Mekudeshes. And Mar here means the Chachamim, less like the Rebbe. They don't agree with Rebbe. They hold like the Chachamim of Rebbe, who say that there has to be another contract involved. And since there wasn't, therefore he didn't really give anything to her. And that's why they say, Eina Mekudeshes. Or, Iboy Seima, or I can interpret it a little bit differently, and I can say the Kuliyam Leslu de Rebbe, everybody doesn't agree with Rebbe, everybody holds it like a Chachamim, because they're the majority, that he have to write a contract to say that the contract's handed over. So therefore, what's the argument here between Rameu and the Chachamim if the woman is married? The Hachabed Rav Papa Kemiflegi, they're arguing about the din of Rav Papa. The Omer Rav Papa, what did Rav Papa say? Hai man de zovin shtara lechavrei. If I'm selling a contract to you, yeah, so I have a contract that says that someone owes me money, and I want to sell that to you. Yeah, is tzarich lemichtavle, when I give it over to you and I write it in the contract, I say you are koina this star from me, kenei lechahu the piece of paper, the chol shibude, and all of the obligations that are in it. Yeah, because otherwise it just means I'm giving you a piece of paper. Yeah, the piece of paper might be worth something. But, so it has to be clear that I'm selling you the piece of paper with the meaning of all the obligations that are in that paper. And if I didn't write it, then that transaction hasn't happened. And it's not yours. So here we're talking about what? That he gave it to the woman, and Hitaka wrote it, because the Hosel Chachamim. So he wrote a contract that says to the woman, I am giving you this shtar that you can collect the money. But he didn't write, I'm giving you a shtar with all the obligations in it. He didn't do what Rav Papa said. As Mar Ishtar de Rav Papa, according to the Chachamim, we agree with Rav Papa, and therefore that handing over of the contract to the woman is invalid, and therefore she's not married. Omar, according to the Mar here, will be Rav Meir, Lester de Rav Papa, he doesn't agree with Rav Papa, and he says it's not necessary to write Huvichol Shibuda. Yeah, and therefore it will be that she's married anyway, as long as he handed it over. The Iboy same, or yet another way of interpreting, I can tell you, the Kulayama Isu de Rav Papa. Everyone agrees with Rav Papa that he must write in this contract, I'm giving you the piece of paper plus what it means, not just what not the piece of paper that it's written on, but the actual meaning. So what's the argument here? Here it has to be worth more than the piece of paper it's worth it on. The Hacha bit of Shmuel Kamiflika. Here the argument is about whether we agree with Shmuel. What did Shmuel say? The Omar Shmuel, that Shmuel said, top of the page, Hameichesh Tarchev L'chaveire, somebody who sells the contract to someone else to collect, but then, V'chazer Amachloi, and then he was Meichel. Pardon me, is Meichel. So what happened was, Reuven owed Shimon money, and Shimon had a contract that says Reuven owes him money. Then Shimon sold the contract to Yehuda, and then, he's a nasty guy, and he says, you know what, I forgive the loan. even though he's already sold the rights. He sold the rights to it to somebody else, and he decides, okay, I forgive the loan. Says Shmuel Machel, that works. And the loan is Kaputsky. Vafilo Yerush Machel, and even if Shimon died, and the inheritor of Shimon's estate says he inherits the fact that somebody owed his father money, and he says, you know what, I don't need it, I forgive that loan. So even though the third party is holding the contract, it's bad luck for the third party. That's what Shmuel says. So what happened over here? He gave her, he gives her a shtar. When she gets this piece of paper, what is she thinking? Is she saying, oh, he's given me the rights to collect $1 million loan, yippee, I'm rich? Or is she thinking, I know what's going to happen. He's going to give me the piece of paper, and then he's going to forgive the loan to the other guy, and guess what? It won't be worth the paper it's written on. Yeah, and therefore, if she's thinking that, she's not accepting the kiddushin, and therefore she's not married. It's mar isle de Shmuel or mar lasle de Shmuel. So the Gemara says the question is if Shmuel is correct and he can do that, then she wouldn't be agreeing, and therefore she's not married. If Shmuel is incorrect and she cannot do that, then and he can't be meichel the loan, then she would accept it and she is married. So that's another way we can interpret the argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. The Iboy Seima, or a fourth way we can explain it, we're going to roll here, is the Kula Alma Isla de Shmuel. I could tell you that everyone agrees with Shmuel, that you can be meichel alone even though you've sold the rights to somebody else. And the buyer is just taking a chance. When the buyer buys the rights to collect the loan, he's taking a chance that the original lender won't... Won't screw him, basically.
It would be wrong to be meichel alone.
Well, it feels wrong, but if Shmuel is correct, then technically he can do it. Then the other guy's taking a punt. But here the argument is not about whether you can do it technically, but about whether she expects that he will do it or he won't do it. Here is Be'isha Kamiflugi. Here the argument is, what is the woman expecting?
Why would she expect? She would think normally that she's probably in for the loan or in for the
money. Right, that's what, okay, so that's one opinion. So Mar Savar, Rav Meir, who says that she's married, Isha Samcha Daita, she will relax. She will say, he's giving me that piece of paper, he's not going to stuff me and moichel the loan. I'm going to... Meimar Amra, she's going to say to herself, Leishavik li ledidi, he's not going to mess me up, or machel lachrina. By being moichel the loan, he's costing me money. He wants me to be his wife. Yeah, he must like me a little bit. So he's not going to start off by dutting me out of a lot of money. So therefore she says, he's for sure not going to do that. And therefore she's confident, she accepts it, and she's married. That's Rav Meir. Omar Savar, the Chachamim say she's not married, because they hold Isha Nami Loisam Chadaita, that she wouldn't trust him, because even then he's doing some kind of a dodgy, who knows what, and she wouldn't trust him.
If he gives her a piece of paper like that, saying you can take the loan out, when she marries him, he will, it's his money anyway, no?
No, because once they're married, whatever she acquires belongs to him. But the money that he gives her to make the marriage in the first place, that's hers. Yeah. Okay, so we had four ways of interpreting the argument. Yeah, we had four ways of interpreting the argument of Milva Bishtar. Because remember what we were saying was that the argument between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is there are two arguments. One is when the loan is with a contract, so that's the ones we've been talking about till now. Now we have to explain why should it be different, what's the basis of the argument when it was a verbal contract. So here, he's not handing over a contract that says someone owes him money, he's just verbally saying, you know what, Shmerel owes me money, you can collect it, and let's get married with that. So that's called a milval peh. It's just a verbal loan. So he says, but milval peh, but my pligi, what's the basis of the argument with a verbal loan? With Rav Huna Amar Rav. They're basing the argument on the statement of Rav Huna Amar Rav. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, monali biyorcha. This is quite a famous statement. He says, if he comes up to someone and says, hey, you owe me money. And the other guy says, you know what? And then he says, you know what? The money that you owe me, it's nail the ploini. Instead of paying me back, just hand it, give it straight to him. I want to give him the money, you give it straight to him. The Mamad Shloshet, and all three of the people are there. Connor, that works. Yeah, so I can say, you know what, don't bother paying me back, pay him. That works, says Rav. Now, so therefore, what are we saying? That this is the type of Milval Peh we're talking about. Someone owes this, the Chosin. Somebody owes the Chosin money, and the Chosin says to the Kala, or says to the guy, instead of paying me back, pay the Kala. Yeah, so she's going to get the money. So Rav says normally that that would work. Yeah? Is the question is, what about over here? And here, but here it was a loan. Yeah? That you owed me money because I lent it to you. So that loan, instead of paying back, give it to her. Is Mar Sovar is the Chachamim hold, Kika Omar Rav, when Rav said that works, is Hani Mila Bipikotin. That's when it's a safekeeping. Not when he says Monali Biyodcha, it's the 100 bucks that I gave you to look after, not the 100 bucks that I lent you. 100 bucks I gave you to look after, and I say, now you don't need to look after it anymore, but instead of giving it back to me, give it to her, that will work. Aval Mil Valoy. But if it's 100 bucks you owe me, so there's a subtle difference here between just you're looking after it for me, I have to give it back, versus you borrowed it from me and now you owe me. So he says that with a loan, it doesn't work. And therefore, since it doesn't work, yeah, there's no transaction here that happened where she's got the rights to collect the money, and therefore not mikudeshes. Umar Sovar, the Rav Meir holds loishna milva loishna pikadon. It doesn't make a difference as long as he says, give the money to her, it works, and therefore she's mikudeshes. Or presence of all three, yeah, that's how the transaction works. Okay, so that's, we have managed to explain that argument to Rav Meir and the Chachamim, that it's not based on the etzem idea of can you marry a woman by forgiving a loan. We said it's talking about a separate situation where somebody owed the chosen money and he was handing it on to her. So the Gemara doesn't give up so easily and it tries again. Okay, so that obviously they weren't arguing about Mekanesh B'milva, but Neima Kitanoi, maybe there's another one. And that's again Rav Meir. Hiskatcha li b'shtar. He walks up to the woman and he's got a contract in his hand and he hands it over and he says, Hareya Mekudeshes li with this shtar. Now what's in that shtar? We don't know yet. We're going to see. But at the moment, all we know is that he handed her over a piece of paper. Rav Meir ain't a Mekudeshes. Yeah, it's the other way around. Here Rav Meir says it's no good. Rav Elazar ain't a Mekudeshes. Rav Elazar says it is good. I don't know if it's good about what's written in the shtar, but how about the piece of paper? Shomines Hanayor. You got to work out how much the piece of paper is worth. Im yesh b'shav a pruta Mekudeshes. If the paper is worth a pruta, she's married. V'im lav ain't a Mekudeshes. If not, she's not married. Okay, so what are we talking about here? What sort of contract? What is this contract? If it's the same thing we were talking about till now, where somebody owed him money, and he goes over to her and hands over that contract. Well, that can't be, because the previous price that Rav Meir said it works, and here he says it doesn't. Kasha, the Rav Meir, the Rav Meir. That would be Rav Meir is contradicting himself. So it must be that this is talking about something a bit different. So what are we talking about over here? Ela b'shtar chayv dido. So therefore, the Gemara wants to assume that we're talking about here a shtar chayv where she owed him money. And what's he doing? He's forgiving the loan. Aha, this is Mekanesh B'milva. Of Mekanesh B'milva come iflagi, and they're arguing about whether a marriage can work, whether what he hands over is the fact that he is forgiving a loan that she owed him. So that's what the Gemara is trying to make it into Machlokes Tanoim. Is Omer of Nachum Ayitzak name. Hacha Mayaskinon, here we're talking about Kegoin Shekitcha B'shtar She'en Alav Edim. Here, we're talking about Mekanesh B'shtar is not that we're talking about that it's a shtar with money and he's handing it over rights to money, blah, blah, blah. Here, we're talking, don't forget, way back in the beginning of the Masechta, we said there are three ways to marry a woman. One is with money, one is with shtar, and one is with bia. This is Iskatchuli B'shtar is not talking about handing over some money or some value. Here, it's talking about his Mekanesh with shtar. That's the approach of marriage, yeah? And therefore, what's the argument about here when he gave over the shtar that says, marry me, whether she's married or not? Because here we're talking about a shtar where he didn't have any witnesses in the shtar. Yeah? So he took a contract of marriage, and he gives it over to the woman, and he says, Arei Mekudeshes li with a shtar, I'm marrying you b'shtar, not b'kesef, but b'shtar. But there's no witnesses on the shtar. Does that work or not if there's no witnesses on the shtar? Rav Meir letamei. So Rav Meir says it doesn't work. Rav Meir says, when it comes to a divorce, the expression karsi means cut off. And that's talking about a divorce, but we compare divorce and marriage, yeah? Rav Meir says when he hands over a divorce paper, there has to be witnesses in the divorce paper, because it's those witnesses that effect the divorce. And therefore, the same thing, when he marries with a contract, there has to be witnesses in the contract, and those witnesses are the ones that are effecting the marriage. And if there's no witnesses in there, there's no marriage. Rabbi Lozer goes according to his shita, the Omer Edim Asira Karsi. He says, no, you don't have to have witnesses in the contract, you have to have witnesses that he handed it over. Just like, and that applies to divorce and also to marriage. He can hand over a contract that doesn't have anybody signed in it, but he needs you two guys to be watching when he hands it over. And that works. Yeah, and therefore, Rav Meir says no, ain't a mekudeshes, because there's no witnesses in the contract. Rabbi Lazar says yes, mekudeshes, because you don't need witnesses in the contract as long as somebody saw him hand over the paper. When there was a third opinion over here. The Chachamim said you got to check how much the piece of paper is worth. I said, well, where do they come from? Says the Gemara, but Rabbanan misafkalahu. The Rabbanan are in doubt. Ikra Rav Meir, Ikra Rabbi Lazar. They don't know who's right out of Rav Meir and Rabbi Lazar. Is it good without witnesses or is it not good without witnesses? So therefore, you know what? They say, Hilkach Shomin Asanayor. Let's evaluate the piece of paper. If the piece of paper is worth a pruta, I don't have to care which one is right. Then he's marrying her with the one pruta's worth of paper. But if it's not worth a pruta, then she will not be married because we're not sure that Rav Meir Rav Elazar is correct, that you can marry someone with a piece of paper which doesn't have any witnesses on it. That's one way of learning. Or I can interpret Kagoin, Shakasva Shaloli Shma, that he wrote the marriage contract, but when it was written, it wasn't written having in mind it's for the sake of that particular woman. We learned in Gittin that a divorce paper must be written, the person who's writing it has to have, at least the main parts of it, has to have in mind the woman that is getting divorced. Mm-hmm. But here we're talking about a marriage contract. And this marriage contract was written without having her in mind. It was just, you know, Eli Gutnick just wrote it up for fun. And it turned out it was the right name, so somebody took it and went and married with it. And it's based on the argument of Reish Lakish. The boy Reish Lakish asked a question. Star Erisin. A marriage of Erisin. Erisin, of course, is Kiddushin, the first step of marriage, which is by contract. That contract, Chakosfe Shaloli Shma, which was written not for the sake of the woman, Mahu, is it kosher or not? Do we say Haviyali Yetziya Makshinon? We compare marriage to divorce. Ma Yetziya Be'inon Lishma, just like a divorce paper has to be for her sake, as the Pasuk says, Vekasav La, he writes it for her, which we say La Lishma. For her means for her sake, for in her name, is afavia nami but in lishma. So the marriage also needs to be lishma. Idilma havias lahadodim makshinan, or compare it not to divorce, but compare it to a marriage which was done with kesef. Compare marriage with contract to marriage with money. Mahavia de kesef loy but in lishma. When he hands over $100 bill, that $100 bill does not need to have been printed lishame this woman. Yeah, because when the printer in Canberra prints out $100 bills, he's not thinking about who's going to use it. So it ain't lishma. Nevertheless, handing over the $100 bill works. So the same thing with the contract. When he hands over the contract, it doesn't need to be for her sake. Yeah, as long as he's giving it to her now, that's good. So that was the question that Reish Lakish asked. Does it have to be lishma or not? Do we compare it to divorce or do we compare it to marriage through money? And Bosher, the Baya Hadar Poshta, after Reish Lakish asked the question, he himself decided on the answer. The answer was, V'yotze V'hoysa. No, we compare it, we have this Hekish, the Torah told us always to compare the mechanism of divorce with the mechanism of marriage, and therefore Makish Aviyah Litzia compares marriage to divorce, and therefore the paper has to be written for the name of the sake of that woman. So that's Reish Lakish's conclusion. But everyone else doesn't have to listen to Reish Lakish. The thing is, Mar Easter to Reish Lakish, according to Rav Meir, then Reish Lakish is correct, and it has to be lishma. And if it's not lishma, nothing doing. Omar, less than the Reish Lakish. Rabbi Lazar says it's okay, is because he doesn't agree with Reish Lakish, and he says it's okay even though it wasn't lishma. Or another way of interpreting, the kuli alma is to the Reish Lakish, that everybody agrees it has to be written for the sake of the woman. He wrote it with her in mind, but she didn't know about it. Can you write a piece of paper, a marriage paper, where the woman doesn't know about it yet? So that is a pluk to the Rav Ravina, where a papa Rav Shravya can be flugi, of course. That is the machlekes between these four blokes. What's the machlekes? The itma, that it was said, kasful ishma v'shalei midat, if he wrote the marriage paper for her, and he wrote it having her in mind, but she didn't know about it, is Rav Ravina amri mekudeshes, Rav Ravina on the one hand say it works, Rav papa Rav Shravya amri ena mekudeshes, and they say on the other hand it doesn't work, she has to know about it. And therefore we will say this machlekes between Rav Meir and the Malazar is the same thing. Okay, now it's 7:30, so.
I've got the stack.
So you want to stop? I'm happy to go on a little bit more if you want to.
How long more would you want to go?
Until someone tells me to stop.
Yeah, I
don't know. Well, it doesn't hurt. If you can go. Okay. Doesn't hurt.
Anyway, I think that Sunday, it's up to you, but Sunday you should just start at the point where
Sunday staff. Yeah, we'll have to start on Sunday staff because, yeah. Correct. We will do that. Good okay. Joseph. Good Joseph. All right. So I'm happy another 5 minutes? Okay. Okay, so the Gemara tries again. Name a Kahani Tanoi. So now the Gemara tries again whether Mekadesh B'milva will go according to the... Still trying to make it into an argument between Tanoim. The Tanya will end in a Braisa. Aseli, she says to the man, make for me Shirim Nizomim V'tabois. Bracelets and nose rings and rings. Yeah? So what? Mekadesh Nilochem, with that I will marry you. He is a jeweler. So he goes over. She goes over to the jeweler and she says, she hands him up, she has some raw gold. What are they called? Ingots, no. She has just blocks of bars bullion. Of gold. Bullion. Yeah? And she goes over to the jeweler, and she says, take this gold and make it into bracelets and necklaces and whatever, and with that I will marry you. Interesting one, hey? Yeah. And then he does. Says the bracer, Kevin Shasson, once he made them into jewelry, Mekudesha, so she's married, Divrei Rav Meir. And the Chachamim say, Eina Mekudesha, such a Gia Momin Liyada. She's not married unless she gets money in her hand from him. Now, this is unclear. What does that mean exactly? What's he giving her? What's she getting? What's the story?
She's giving him gold.
She's giving him gold, and he's giving back jewelry. But the question is, what is it that he's trying to marry her with? So the Gemara says, Hai Momin Hechidomi. If when it says that he has to give her money, what sort of money? What are you talking about? If you're talking about the money that is the value that he finishes making the jewelry and he just gives it back to her, yeah. So and she's not married until he gives it back to her. So well, of course, What does that mean? The Tanakama holds that even if he hasn't given back to her the jewelry that she's married, so how did he marry her? She gave him the gold, and he made the jewelry, and the jewelry is still sitting in his workshop.
Yeah.
Well, of course she's not married. He didn't give it to her. So therefore, that can't be what it means. It means that it doesn't work, and he has to give her different money. Why does he have to give her different money? Think about what happened over here. She supplied the raw materials. What did he supply? He supplied his labor.
Labor.
Now, when a person labors, and the other person has to pay for his labor... So as a person works, he's accruing that you owe him money. You get to the end, it's a debt.
Sure.
You owe him money. That's what a debt is. So that's like a milva. So it's like a loan. Right? What's a loan? That you owe him money. So in this case, it's like a loan because he earned the money with his labor, and now it's a debt. So now we're saying, is she married or not? Is Shmami no? So the Gemara concludes that we're talking about whether he can marry her with his labor. Yeah, which is the same as Mekadesh B'milva K'miflagi. Can you marry him by forgiving? And then what's he doing? He's forgiving her the debt that he says, you don't have to pay for my labor.
Correct.
So he's forgiving a debt. Does that work or not? That is the argument. V'savri, and we're assuming by saying this, the Kuli Alma, that everybody agrees, that yes, to the Schiris Metchilav Atzoif, that when you labor, yeah, the debt is accruing from beginning to end. The first minute you worked, she owes him 1 minute's worth of labor. Second minute, another minute, right? So the whole way along, she is building up this debt. And then he forgives the debt. V'havei milva, therefore it's like a debt. And my love b'hokam iflugi, and therefore isn't the argument. So the first one, which was Rav Meir, who said it works, is because he holds Mekadesh B'milva works. Says the Gemara Loinen, you didn't understand. I can tell you, everybody agrees with Rav, which is what we started with this whole discussion, and that by forgiving a debt, it doesn't work. Here the whole thing is, here the argument is, whether when you do labor, does the debt accrue as you go, or is it just a big bang effect that at the end, when he hands it over, she's supposed to pay, and she's not, so he's giving it to her. Mar Sovar, turn the page, or do whatever you do in that one. Eina Schirus El Lebasoif. Yeah, the one who says that the marriage works, yeah, he says that it doesn't accrue as you go. It's only at the end. And therefore what's happening is, he's handing her over jewelry, and he's not asking her to pay for it. Therefore he's giving it to her, and therefore the marriage works. Umar Sova, the guy who says it doesn't work, holds yes to the schiris mitzchilav atzoif, that it's accruing. And because it's accruing, it's a loan, and therefore a loan doesn't work. But if it would be a straight out loan, everyone would agree it doesn't work. Or I can tell you to kula yama yeshnas chias mitchila vatzoif. I can tell you that everybody agrees that it accrues as you go. But everybody also agrees mekadesh b'milva ena mekadeshes, that marrying by forgiving a loan doesn't work. So therefore, how can it be married? So what's the reason of the one who says that it works over here? V'hacha, here it's question. Here we're talking about, this is not tzchirus. Here we're talking about ba'uman kena b'shvach kli. Here we're talking about, normal tzchirus means if I'm an employee, yeah? So as soon as I start working at 9 o'clock in the morning, you start owing me money till 5 o'clock, you owe me your day's wages, yeah? But what happens if I'm a... Hey? Okay, but it's a debt, right? So it's accruing. But if I'm a jeweler, yeah? You're not paying me for my time from 9 to 5. What you're paying me is for the job. For the job, yeah? It's not a time-based situation over here. So even if we agree that when it's time-based employment, it accrues... But when it's not time-based, when it's just the job handing back the finished product, then that doesn't accrue, yeah? Because what actually happens is, the concept is, the way to look at it is, she hands over raw gold, and he turns it into jewelry. So it's like, so the technicality is, that he's koina the gold, he transforms it into jewelry, and he now sells it back to her, for a price that's fitting according to the fact that she supplied the material, right? But it's like he's selling it back. It's almost, it's like the jewelry belongs to the jeweler, and he's now selling it, yeah? So it's a sale. It's not a loan at all. It's a sale. And therefore, if he gives it to her without making her pay, it's a gift, and that's a marriage, yeah? So that's the argument. Rav Meir says the marriage works because he says what happens is that the tradie, he actually acquires the gold, yeah? And now he makes jewelry, and it's his jewelry, and now he's giving his jewelry to her, so she's married. The other guy who says it doesn't work holds, no, it doesn't matter whether he's doing it for the job or he's doing it by money, by time. Either way, he's just working for her. The raw materials remain hers all along, and all he's doing is labor. And if he's doing labor, I don't care if it's by the hour or by the job. It's still labor. And therefore, it's still a debt. And therefore, it ain't going to work. So that's that way of looking at it. Or another way is, the I can tell you that everybody agrees, not like we're suggesting that he acquires the gold and he's selling it back, that everybody agrees that he's like just like a laborer. And the debt accrues as it goes on, so it becomes like a debt. But nevertheless, everybody agrees that by forgiving a loan doesn't work. So what's the reason why it does work over here, according to the one who says it does? The hach of my askinon over here, what happened was that when he finished making the jewelry, Neufach is one of the jewels in the choshen, if you look at Chumash. I'm not sure what actual jewel it is. It's a precious stone. As he translates Neufach? He takes a precious stone, and he adds it in. So he's made all this lovely jewelry out of her gold, but he adds on a stone that he puts into the jewelry that's from him. And if it's worth a pruta. So what happened? So if it's worth a pruta, the question is, when he says, be married to me, or she agrees to be married with the jewelry, is she taking that stone into account or not? Mar sovar milvo pruta. So most of what he's giving her is the free jewelry. Yeah? The free effort, the free labor, which is a debt. So he's giving her two things. He's giving her forgiving the debt, plus he's giving her a precious stone. Is the question is, what is she thinking about when she accepts the deal? So the one who says that she's married holds that milvo pruta, if it's two things, there's forgiving a debt plus a pruta, daite a pruta, then she's thinking about the pruta, and that works. Omar Sava, the other one, says she's not married, is daite a milva, is thinking only about the loan, because that little bit of jewel of stone that he puts in there is, I guess, immaterial compared to the whole thing. But the problem is that the rest of it is all dead, and that doesn't work. Over pulta tahani tanoi, as we find that there is such an argument already, the tanya within the braisa, if he says to a woman, I'm marrying you bischarsha sisi imach, by the work that I've done for you already, that's what I want to marry you with. Eina mekudesh, that doesn't work because it's a loan and it doesn't work. It's a debt. If he says, but if he says, I'm going to do something for you, then Mekudeshes, then it does work, because that's not a debt anymore, it's in advance, yeah. Rav Nosson Neymer, Bishchar She'esa Imachena Mekudeshes, Rav Nosson says, no, even in the future, it doesn't work, because all he's saying is that what would become a debt doesn't in advance. The Kolsha came, Bishchar She'asisi Imachena, how much more so if it really was a debt doesn't work. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Yomer. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi comes along and says, "Be'emes Somro." That really they said, "Beim b'schar shasisi, beim b'schar sa'esi imachena mekudeshes." Really, Rabbi Nosson is correct. Whether he wants to marry her with debt that's already accumulated for work that he's done, or with the debt that will accumulate for work that he will do, that doesn't work, says Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. But what could work? But if he chucked in an extra little sweetener, a little stone, then Mekudesh said it does work. Yeah, because she will think about that stone and with that it will work. So that's the same thing that we're writing about over here. Now just to finish off to the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Bein Tanakama Reb Nosson, the reason of the argument between the Tanakama and Reb Nosson is Ikebenai Schirus, yeah, in the future tense. Yeah, the first guy said in the future tense it does work, and Reb Nosson says even in the future tense it doesn't work. So that's their argument. That's one argument. Ben Reb Nosson, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, what will be the difference between Reb Nosson and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? Ika binayu milver pruto. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the one who brought in the situation where he gave her an extra stone and put it in there. So that's a difference. So he's forgiving a debt, plus he gives a stone. Mar savra milver pruto daita milver. According to Reb Nosson, that's no good because mainly she's thinking about the debt, and debt is no good. Or mar savra daita pruto. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, no, he's thinking about the stone, and the stone's worth a pruto, then it is good. Okay, we'll leave it over here today.